Let'll begin this service by singing number 348. 1, 2, and 3. 348. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. Number 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. First, we read to you the law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Further we read to you from God's holy word, the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the first part, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, for your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by men came death, by men came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for blessing. Almighty and all-sufficient God, thy hand brought us together in this morning hour of this Sabbath day, in this house of worship, round about the eternal word and testimony. We are still with one another in the land of living. There are empty places in some families, places which never be fulfilled at the sight of the grave. But we, still in the land of living, and living under the means of grace, and that voice that shall be behind us also in this day, in preaching and reading and catechizing, this is the way, walk ye therein. But Lord, thou knowest what man is by virtue of his deep fall in Adam. No desire in the ways of the Lord. By nature we are all enemies. And we show that in our life, one more than the other. But we are all by nature dead in trespasses and sins. But there is a way opened in Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son, to escape the wrath of God, to come in communion with thee again, to restore into fellowship with thee, to receive that life that never shall perish, an everlasting life, founded and grounded in Christ Jesus, who is the life of thy people. who has merited that life while he was here on earth, but now at the right hand of the Father apply it in the hearts of all those that from all eternity are given by the Father into the hand of his Son. That also in our midst many were laying under that seal of election, and that in this day it may please thee that some may hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that have heard that shall live. Lord, have mercy with the whole congregation, with fathers and mothers and children, with each and every one. Visit us in this day in thy love and in thy mercy, that there happens something that shall remain with us even in the hour of death and in the great day of judgment, because we are all travelers to eternity, and we must be born again, shall it be well to meet our Maker. Remember all the preaching and teaching in this day over the length and breadth of the earth, among the heathens and that Jewish nation, and in our own congregations and outside, where the word is preached by some, that it bears fruit to everlasting life, to the salvation of sinners, that the stronghold of the devil was broken down, and that thy kingdom may come, that sinners come at thy feet, and that thy people exercised in the way of grace to lose their own life and to find it in Christ only. Let thyself not be unwitness, Lord, but remember us with all thy servants and with all those that have read the sermons in this day. We commend them all at thy throne. Increase the number, and that it may please thee to give us thy Holy Spirit also in this morning hour and in this Sabbath day. It is a work impossible for men. But Lord, give also amongst us Aaron's and hers, and above all that we receive in our heart, strength of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, that we seek nothing else than the honor of thy name and the welfare of thine, and that we may preach Christ in all his beauty for a sinner, for a poor sinner, and for a wretched sinner. Those that cannot gather with us in this day, all the old people and sick and afflicted, and in the different hospitals, strengthen and sustain them. A mother who has to enter in this afternoon, remember her in their needs and wants, also in the day of tomorrow, and sanctify all thy dealings to their heart. A mother who came back from the hospital, humbled her heart in the dust before thee. parents who were blessed again in their married life, with a child, give them grace to bow under thee, and that that mother receive strength and courage, but that that child was born to be born again. Those families who had lost a child and grandson, and other ones a son-in-law, and a nephew in four different families, sorrow, so far as we know amongst us, oh Lord, that all those deep ways, especially those that were taken away in the prime of their life, that it bring to the right place, that we may learn to die before death comes. We never know, as in those other people, so sudden, some, and after a short sickness, that they have seen before their eyes that there is only a step between one, between us and death. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we apply our hearts unto wisdom. Those parents who were married for 35 years, that it be continued for some years more, in thy fear, in thy favor, to the honor of thy name. Remember in mercy all the boys in the service, protect them and spare them and comfort them. The widows and orphans and widows, give them all that they stand in need of in their lonesome life. And other ones who have received children back from the hospital, and other ones of their family, given grace to acknowledge thee, made further everything well with us in this day. Pour out thy spirit in our heart. Gladden our soul with the tokens of thy love and of thy favor in thy beloved Son Jesus Christ. Forgive our sins and hear us. For thy great name's sake, amen. Number 257. And we start with the second stanza, 257. The collection is for the General Mission Fund. The Lord is great above all gods. Let glad hosannas rise. The heathen gods are idols vain. Jehovah made the skies. Great honor is before his face, and majesty divine within his holy dwelling place, both strength and beauty shine. Number 257. Thank you. Beloved congregation, it was the heart's desire of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The desire of his heart and of course the question that this morning, why was that now his desire? Where it came from? And then there is only one answer. And that one answer that is that Christ himself has revealed unto him at first. We have to learn in our life congregation that there can be no knowledge of Christ and no desire after Christ unless that there is a revelation of him before that in our heart. That revelation that is necessary shall there be ever a longing after Christ and to know him in the power of his resurrection. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I will emphasize that out of my text that you will find for this morning in 1 Corinthians 15, the first part, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, this verse. We can with all freedom and liberty write above this text arisen indeed. In the first place, the resurrection of Christ, an absolute fact. And in the second place, a further or more particular proof of his resurrection in the revelation of Christ unto Cephas. It is well remarkable that in the New Testament that we have so many proofs of the resurrection of Christ. When you start with the Gospel of Matthew and you went with the revelation of John, then you find out that you shall find about 104 evidences about the resurrection of Christ. For the children it was well nice, and boys and girls especially, that they look them up in the Bible and that they write them down. Then you have for your further life something to come back to it. The main thing that is, of course, to have it in our heart, but nevertheless, the historical knowledge of the Bible is also necessary in our life. Arisen indeed. The resurrection of Christ, that is the first step in the state of Christ's exaltation, in the state of humiliation, then Christ was standing before God as judge. He was standing there as a sinner. Not that he ever had sinned, but all the sins of God's people and of the world were laid upon him as a surety of the church. He was there standing as a guilty one. But in a state of exaltation, then he was no more standing before God as a guilty one. Then he was standing there as a justified man. Paul, he wrote about that in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, that Christ was justified in the Spirit. The resurrection of Christ was foretold in the Old Testament time and again. In the Psalms as well as in the prophets. And also the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he spoke about his resurrection, about in his first sermon and in his first talk in John 2. Verse 19, and he spoke also of his resurrection in Matthew 12, verse 42. We have also in the Old Testament wonderful examples of Christ in regard to his resurrection. The budding staff of Aaron in Numbers 17, verse 8. That already refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Then when Samson, that judge, that he removed the gates of the city Gazer, that was also an other example of the resurrection of Christ and his departure out of that city. The example of Jonah, the prophet, that is very clear to all of us. But when it comes to the witnesses of the resurrection of Christ, then we first have to mention the testimony of the angels. They were sent from heaven to instruct, to comfort, and to teach the women about his resurrection. Another proof of the resurrection of Christ is what the watchmen had told when they came to Jerusalem after that moment that Christ arose from the dead. The resurrection of Christ had made upon them such a deep impression. They could not be silent about it, but they have to talk what there have taken place, what they have heard in that earthquake, and what they have seen when that light was shining there by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, there are other proofs and evidences of the resurrection of Christ. But we have to see as an absolute fact what have taken place in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea. In the resurrection of Christ, the Father had showed there that he was fully satisfied with the mediatorial work of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lutheran Church and also the Roman Catholic Church, they speak about the exaltation of Christ, but beginning by his death. We start always with his resurrection. But those churches talk about the exaltation of Christ that took place as soon as he died and as he had a victory over the powers and principalities of hell. Of course, we have heard with Good Friday that when Christ died on Calvary's cross, that the Father showed already there that he had his full delight in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father gave a testimony in the resurrection of his Son. The Son himself, he had showed in his resurrection that he had laid down his life, but that he also took it again unto him. That he was the Son of God, that is also guaranteed by the Holy Spirit and revealed by that Spirit, as Paul speaks of that in Romans 1, verse 4. Now in that absolute fact that Christ was risen from the dead, the justification of Christ and the justification of the church is sealed in his resurrection. All the guilt and all the sin of God's people that is buried in that sepulchre where they have laid the Lord Jesus Christ. That sin that was paid off, a proof that God's people never had to pay something for the sin. The results of sin stay as long as God's people live here in the world. But the dominion of sin, the power of sin, and the guilt of sin, that is all broken and taken away in the resurrection of Christ. Sanctification, that is also in regard to Romans 1, guaranteed in Christ, because he is given by the Father not only to justification, but also to sanctification. And it was also an absolute fact in the resurrection of Christ that death is swallowed up into victory. Satan, and that now in the resurrection of Christ, that they lay the plats that all God's people shall be raised up out of death in regard to the soul and in the great day in regard to their body. Now in the congregation of Corinth, Paul, he was there, you know, for 2 years. And he never before had a territory to work as that it was in that big city of Corinth. There were living more than 500,000 people. 600,000 people. First, Paul, he preached in the synagogue. But that was only a little time. And then that Jewish people that show so much enmity towards the preaching of Paul that it was impossible to preach there longer. Then he preached for the heathens. And there were in that big city, Corinth, many heathens that came to true conversion. The Lord had also promised that Paul that he had many people in that city. It was a very wicked city, a rough life, but nevertheless, the Lord had many of his people there, and Paul, he had labored there for 2 years with a great blessing for that people and for himself. Most of the time that goes together. After 2 years, the time was there that Paul had to leave that city. One of those ministers that came there was later on Apollos. He was also a Jew, mighty in the scriptures. But of course, that had takes place time and again. The Lord sent his servants, and the Lord, he removed his servants. That was so with Paul, and that was with Apollos. And then after, especially that Paul had left the city, there came all kind of divisions in that church. It is the same as when there is no father in a family. Many times it goes wrong. There came divisions in that church. One he said, I belong to Paul. Another say, I belong to Apollos. And a third one he said, no, not Paul of Apollos, but Peter that is my minister. Paul, he came against it. Because the only head of the church, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Paul, he emphasized in our chapter the resurrection of Christ. But before that he spoke about the resurrection of Christ, then he spoke also about the death of Christ and the burial of Christ. And then he said he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. On Friday evening Christ died on the cross, and on Sunday morning he arose out of that sepulchre. Now there is something else that we have to speak about in regard to that text this morning, because he said in my text, and that he was seen of Cephas. Paul, he speaks no word about the revelation of Christ to Mary Magdalene. Even to those other women. He mentioned also nothing of the two men of Emmaus. Not one word. Only Cephas, the 12, the more than 500 brethren, James, and the revelation of Christ unto Paul himself. What must now be the reason that Paul is speaking not about those women and those men of Emmaus? Why not? The apostle had here a special purpose before his eyes. And what was now that purpose? That is this. Peter, here is he called Cephas, that was one of the apostles who came most of the time on the foreground. James, he was also an apostle of Christ. And Paul, the last of the apostles. And now those apostles need personally that revelation of Christ because they have to preach the resurrection of Christ in the world. They have to lay Christ as the foundation of the church. And therefore they must personally persuaded of the resurrection of Christ. You read, for instance, of the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, that he wrote in his first epistle, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have heard with our ears, what we have touched with our hands, that is what we preach unto you. Shall we preach the gospel and the death and resurrection of Christ, then it is necessary that we know something of it for our own heart. It goes not people about the measure of it, no. But the main thing that is, that we personal know something of it. And we can know something of it after that it is personally revealed in our heart. About those more than 500 brethren at once, that was also an official appearance of Christ to the church, gathered from all sides, and proof that the revelation of Christ is necessary for us, shall it be well for the great and ever-ending eternity. Thus, the resurrection of Christ's congregation, that is an absolute fact. It is remarkable, you know, that Sanhedrin that say to those to that guard, to those watchmen, we give you money, and we shall take care that there shall never be any persecution after you from the Roman Emperor, but you have to tell the people a lie. And that lie that was, that the disciples came at night when they were sleeping Ben they all are sleeping? What ook never happens. Because there's every time somebody that cannot sleep. But then you have to tell the people that the disciples came and that they have stolen the body of Christ. That they stole that body. And of course, they never, when the apostles were speaking on the day of Pentecost, and later on in the temple and synagogue, that Jewish people came never against them when they talk about the resurrection of Christ. They let them go. A proof that they have no weapons. And it seems that they have even no freedom to do it. But now, our text that said this morning, and that he was seen of Cephas. Of Cephas, that was his original name. But soon, the Lord Jesus, he changed his name. He called him Peter. And Peter signifies a rock. And the explanation of it, you find that in Matthew 16. And upon this Peter, upon this confession, I shall build my congregation, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. After that he was seen of Cephas. The word Cephas was thus his original name. And we can also say in our text this morning, and that he was seen of a sinner. Because Cephas, he was also born as a sinner here on earth. And he had showed in his life that he not only was a sinner, but with all the grace that the Lord has given him, he remained a sinner. There was once a time, congregation, that Peter was standing on the top of the list amongst the apostles, on the top of the list. Time and again it was Peter. Time and again. I would say, when Christ asked something, he gave even no time to those other people to talk. And he was a fluent talker, you can realize it. Augustine, he said once, I have hoped that I could hear Peter preaching on the pulpit. You find that back also in his epistles. It was a lovely man. It was a man with much grace that the Lord had given him. I will say this morning something about the grace that the Lord has given unto him. To give you a right idea about the revelation of Christ in the power of his resurrection. Peter was a man, I hope that I can explain it with the help of the Lord clear to you, that you can take the right conclusion out of what I will say to you this morning. Peter was a man that knows something of the preciousness of Christ and the suitableness of Christ and the aimableness of Christ. I hope you can keep those words in your mind. He knows the preciousness of Christ, the suitableness of Christ, the aimableness of Christ. But what was lacking? What was lacking in his heart? Two things. And that was the indispensableness of Christ and the necessity of Christ. Maybe it is well profitable that I explain that a little closer to you. But before, because you have all to come up an hour early this morning, as usual, and some are having little trouble with sleeping, I see, we first will sing together. With joy the meek shall see my soul restored. Your heart shall live, ye saints that seek the Lord. He helps the needy and regards the Christ. Those in distress the Lord will not despise. 187, 3 and 4. Peter was greatly privileged by the Lord. In John 6, then he said, we have believed and confessed that thou art the Son of God. Later on, then he said, Lord, we have left everything and we have followed thee. He had given his business away to follow Christ, not knowing what there lay in store for him. And when you read in the Bible, I have left everything, or then you immediately can realize that it was true. You can take that over for 100% people. So upright that man was. In John 14, in Matthew 14, then he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thus that Peter had a knowledge of Christ as the fruit, listen now, as the fruit of the personal revelation in his heart. And there is a personal revelation in the heart of a sinner when he become a sinner before the Lord. When we become a sinner with our heart. And that is also a work of the Lord. But still that Peter, he had not enough insight in his sin and guilt. He had no insight about the necessity that Christ must die for the sins of his people, but also for his sin. That was for the Peter totally concealed. He said, Lord, be it far from thee, this shall not be unto thee. What is now the conclusion that I take this morning? Personally, he had no insight about the necessity that Christ must die for the sins of his people. He had also no insight for himself that he had to die. Because God's people that have to die with Christ, the only thing that Peter had insight that was to live with Christ. And he would live with Christ forever, but, in such a way, he would be, let I say it in this manner, Peter would be saved with saving his own life. And God's people have to die with losing of their life. Christ declared that time and again, those that shall lose their life, they shall gain it. And he would be saved at Peter, round about, or without the glorification of the justice of God. That was Peter. Was he a converted man? No doubt about that. No doubt about that. But he had to learn so much. Therefore, there came a time in his life that he with the other disciples left the Lord Jesus Christ. There came a time that he denied Christ thrice. I say this morning to you, that Peter had a time in his life that he amongst apostles and disciples that he was on the top of the list. And now in the hall of Caiaphas he came to the bottom of the list. To the bottom of the list. Oh, what a wonder that the Lord scrapped him not out. But of course, you know, congregation, that is impossible. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If he lay from eternity in the heart of the Father, in the mediatorial work of the Son, we never can be lost. No. That firm foundation of the Lord that is distant. The Lord knows who are his. There is no apostasy of saints. But Peter had to learn something that he could not die for his sins, but that Christ had to die for his sins. But that he also have to die in regard of himself, in regard to the law, to his mind, to his strength. Let I say it in different words and you can maybe follow it better. He had to break his legs. He had to break his legs. Later on, then he was standing on the pulpit with broken legs. And he was a jewel for the church. Some boy said to a father once, when I mentioned that in some place where I preached, that place was fake. And as I say, I hope you receive a minister with broken legs. But that little boy, he said to his dad, to his father, he said, what must we do with such a man on the pulpit? He cannot stand if his legs are broken. You can well realize what children say sometimes. But that is it now. That are the greatest blessings for the church. Ministers with broken legs. Huntington, he said, every time that I have to go to the pulpit, I have to die first. I have to die. And now my text said, and that he was seen of Cephas. The first apostle unto whom that Christ revealed himself after his resurrection, that was Peter. Yes, that angel that said already to those women, tell it, Peter. Why? Because there was no man that had such a need for Christ and for the revelation of him than that Cephas, because he was fallen so deep away. He became a sinner. He wept bitterly when he left that place after that Christ had looked once unto him. One look of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is maybe people amongst me this morning that would well give thousands and thousand dollars if they would receive one look of that Christ. Maybe they would well give everything. And no wonder. No wonder, people. Because why did the Lord reveal himself to that Cephas? Because he had loved him with a love eternal. It was his own child. And now it is remarkable that in the whole Bible, you read nothing where that had taken place and how that it took place and what was spoken there, not one word. That was a secret between Christ and that Peter. And I think, that's my thoughts, but I think, congregation, that it was even impossible to write that down on paper, what there have taken place. After that, he was seen of Cephas. There were two persons glad there. Christ was glad to receive that Peter again. And Peter was glad to receive Christ again for his heart. And that he was seen of Cephas. It became for that man an eternal wonder. He never could come back to Christ. But Christ came back to him, people. Christ came back to that man. And still, to the full knowledge, it came on the day of Pentecost. There happened something, of course, and soon at the Sea of Tiberias, then Peter was restored in his office as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But still it had to become Pentecost Day to receive the full light over the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was seen of Peter, of Cephas. And now we start this morning with that wish of the Apostle Paul, that I may know him. And congregation, that is for you and me, for all of us, necessary. But there have to happen something. There lay something before that. The Holy Spirit have to make a sinner alive. That's the first thing what have taken place. John 6 verse 63. The Spirit quickeneth. And after that a sinner is quickened by the Spirit, what then? Then he accept Christ? No. And again, no. And again, no. Some people who say you are very strong, yes, that's necessary. Especially in the days in which we are living, with so many errors in the church. And where the ignorance about those things is so great. Because, and I have that I based my sayings on the Word of God. And when you come home this afternoon, please read John 16. And there you can find everything what I have told you this morning. Because there in John 16, there Christ, he instructed his disciples about the work of the Spirit. And then he said there that Spirit, when he comes, he shall reprove us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Three things. And judgment, that means that the justice of God have to cut me off. And after that I am cut off by the justice of God, then that follows in that verse 16, and he shall glorify me. Thus, after that sinner in his own work and in his own religion and in the law, by the works of the law, is cut up, then Christ shall be revealed unto him. And after that he was seen of Cephas, the Lord have to make room in our heart for it. And without that people, then it is impossible. Peter had a time that he know the preciousness, the suitableness, the aimableness of Christ. But after his denial, then the time came that he learned the indispensableness of Christ and the necessity of Christ. And then, of course, if that takes place in our heart, then the necessity also is there that Christ become our portion. That he become our portion. I can prove, alas. I say that with some regret, but I can prove to you that in general people, what is the teaching in our days, belief in Christ as your personal Savior. One young man, he said it to me yesterday in some place where I visit. Oh, I say, boy, wrong. Start with Jeremiah 3, where the Lord starts. Only acknowledge thine iniquities, that thou hast sinned against thee. That come first, people. If I never come in contact with the Jews, better than there in Grand Rapids are one of 1,000 lawyers, bothered me not. But if I come in contact with the Jews, then it is a different case. And then I need a lawyer. Then I need a man that takes it up for me. Hezekiah, when he lay in his bed, then he said, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. He said that not 8 days before. No. But after that, the prophet said to him, set your house in order. You shall surely die and not live. Oh, congregation, we are all travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity. And we have only one soul to lose or to gain. One soul. And we must well spend our days, search me, examine me. Is there an evil way? Lead me in the way of everlasting. And another thing, my friends, if it is the true work in our heart, I fight not for doubt, No, I fight not for doubt, but if it is the true work of God, then there are so many times that the people said, Lord, was it really thine own work? Is really the principle of thy work in my heart? I have a sorrow that I have sinned against thee. But was it deep enough? All those questions that come up, and there is no man that can help us in this matter, but speak thou to my soul. I am thy salvation. Speak doubt to my soul. And that is what that poor people bind at the throne of grace by day and by night. Oh, young and old, the time is there, we have to close. But that the Lord bless the instructions of this morning to our soul and to our heart. Oh, that Christ be glorified in our soul as the way, as the life and of the truth. And that we receive that joy in our heart and that gladness that Peter received when Christ had revealed himself. Still not 2 minutes. I hope you forgive it, me. Only 2 minutes. When the men of Emmaus came in that room where the disciples were gathered and they saw the 2 people coming in, then they call already them, the Lord is risen indeed. And he is seen of sign. Why did people self not say that? Why must the other disciples say that? You know why? Oh, that man that was so broken down. So broken down about that one. He could not speak. With all that come from above, we come in the dust, people. With all that is of us, we go in the air. The Lord bless his word to our heart. And he sanctify it to our soul. And he give all his people to know the necessity, indispensableness of Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Lord, bless the few words to our heart. Bring us back in this afternoon and evening under the preaching of that everlasting gospel. Give desire in our heart, an hunger and a thirst after the words of eternal life. Be with us further in catechizing the children. Remember each and every one. After the multitude of thy mercies, Lord, be merciful to us as sinners. And forgive our shortcomings for thy great name's sake. Amen. Number 112. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. 112. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.